You're listening to Audio Berkman, a production of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. On the web at blogs.law.harvard.edu/mediaberkman. I'm glad to be here today with Michael Hemmant, Research Librarian and Head of Scholarly Research Initiatives for Widener Library at Harvard University. Thank you, Michael, for being with us.
Thanks, Colin.
As you know, the Berkman Center is sponsoring a conference on June 1st this year at Harvard titled Internet and Society 2007. The subtitle is University Knowledge Beyond Authority, and some of the questions that the conference seeks to address surround the role of university on the internet. We're interested in speaking with you today because many of the questions we're looking at for the conference involve the role of university libraries within this context, including digitization efforts, archiving, new sociable web platforms, open access to knowledge, and other issues surrounding taxonomy and folksonomy. The conference website at is2k7.org features many questions submitted by the public to help inform the conference. What I'd like to do today is to get your response as a librarian here at Harvard to some of these important questions.
Great.
But before we do that, I'd like to ask you to give a little bit of background about yourself and your work here at Harvard.
Sure, Colin. I came to Harvard as a graduate student in the Department of Romance Languages and Literatures. That's where I earned my doctorate. I was doing medieval Italian literature. And while completing my dissertation, I was working at Brown as the project manager of a humanities computing project, which was called the Decameron Web. And it was during that time that I started getting more and more interested in academic research technology, in how the web can connect researchers to collections in the library, and distance learning and those sorts of issues. And then I joined Widener Library about 5 years ago. And I worked very closely with Classics now, the Committee on Medieval Studies, the Film Studies concentration. And in that capacity, I also work with technologists on campus, with departments and faculty and students through doing research consultations and creating guides and working on a number of different web initiatives.
I wanted to ask you about your blog, Research Forward, which is a great site. It has lots of great information for librarians and others who are interested in using some of these new technologies that you're talking about there. I was interested to know why you started the blog and about some of the things that you're blogging about on the site.
Research Forward is, I guess the inspiration came out of my own interest in Web 2.0 and these sorts of issues, how they relate to academic research technology specifically, and just being able to get a broader perspective in terms of what's happening at other universities, other libraries, in terms of technology and how it relates to the research and teaching process.
What specifically are some of the initiatives that you've been involved with here at Harvard?
So one of my activities has been to develop a series of research portals for departments, and some of them include InterLibros, which is a kind of a gateway for library resources on classics and medieval studies, one on Renaissance studies called Rinascimento, another for film studies called Real Research with two E's, R-E-E-L. And all of these guides are really true collaborations with faculty, with departments, with students, and with other librarians. We have over 90 libraries across Harvard, so there are a lot of subject specialists that I draw upon for these guides. And that's been really, really helpful as well. We also have the assistance of Presidential Instructional Technology Fellows, the PIDIF program out of the Provost's Office. And these are students who have a high degree of technical skills with Photoshop, with Flash, with these sorts of tools that have helped us build these sites. And I manage the PIDIF program in the Harvard College Library. And finally, I give regular presentations across campus on emerging technologies like Web 2.0, social tagging, some of the LDI projects that have been developed by the library, the Open Collections Project, things like deep linking to library e-resources, and the Google Print Initiative.
Let's turn now to some of the questions surrounding the Internet and Society Conference this summer. Perhaps the most prominent question related to the conference, what is the role of university in cyberspace? What do you think that is?
Well, you know, I think it's a complex role. I think the university library has an important voice in areas such as digital preservation, in terms of the organization of knowledge on the web, of refining web search, of supporting open access publishing initiatives, and I think in providing the tools and resources for teaching and learning wherever it takes place on the web, whether it's through course websites, department sites. I think libraries are part of this environment, and so they'll be there when it comes to making those sorts of decisions.
What are some of the challenges and obstacles that you're encountering in these projects?
I'd say that two main challenges are copyright and discovery. Copyright is something that we struggle with many of our library web-based projects, just because fair use is such a difficult concept, I think, to define, and we're constantly trying to see how can we get permissions to digitize materials to make them more accessible to users. That's something that is a constant challenge, I think, for the library, and also for faculty who are hoping to make materials more readily available through course websites and those sorts of things. And discovery of library materials, I think, is another area. Both traditional materials in print and electronic materials, it's something that we're constantly striving to improve access through library finding aids, through our websites, trying to push content whenever possible to students, to course websites in various ways. I think there's a lot we can learn from commercial sites out there who are being, you know, I think who are taking a lead in developing systems that identify and anticipate user needs, that offer features such as viewing materials in a variety of ways, tagging material, and sharing information through RSS and a lot of other sorts of technologies. So I think there's a lot we can learn from those sorts of systems, and I think a lot of our traditional library tools, catalogs, database finding aids, those sorts of things have not really kept pace with a lot of the latest information systems that are kind of on the cutting edge and that are a lot more flexible.
So copyright continues to play a very large role.
Huge.
In some of the challenges that you're facing.
Yes.
Do you find that there might be opportunities to advance or to make some progress in this area in any way?
I think libraries have an important voice when we're a collective voice, and when we join forces with university administrations, with other educational institutions, and I think it would be useful for libraries to be proactive in helping to forge the public policy that surrounds these sorts of fair use issues, and I think that would be a very positive development if there could be kind of a fresh look at these issues and really trying to define what is fair use for specific purposes, and then to take the next step, not only defining it but seeing, can we influence the policy on these sorts of things?
So I'm interested in your response to the question taken directly from the IS2K7 website. Are universities limiting access to knowledge resources by not digitizing collections?
I think they would be. I think there are certain challenges to digitizing collections now, you know, not only in terms of copyright that we just discussed, but also things like staffing and budgets and those sorts of things. I think we're really fortunate here at Harvard that we have programs like the Library Digital Initiative and the Open Collections Project, and even experts and facilities to do things like digitize manuscripts. We have, for example, the digital imaging group in the basement of Widener that does those sorts of things and also does high-quality scanning of images for LDI projects. And of course, all of this is in addition to providing access to thousands of e-journals and electronic books and full-text databases and our participation in the Google Print Initiative. So I think in a number of ways, we're really kind of pushing for more and more digitization. But there are these natural barriers that I think that not only us, but many universities are and libraries are facing.
Well, that's one of the big questions on the IS2K7 site is the Google Library deal a good one for universities?
And I think it is. I think any time that you can open access to library collections, especially the largest academic library collection in the world, and be able to offer it to users around the world, students, researchers, I think it's a great thing. I think it reflects very well on Harvard as well to do that. I think the other side of that is that part of the mission, our primary mission, is to really serve the faculty and students and staff here in the university. That's part our primary mission, and so although this is opening up the collection more broadly than that, all of the digitized images from the books that are made will be able to incorporate into our own special library projects, digital collections. We'll be able to enhance them with additional features. We'll be able to make them available through course websites. So there's also a repurposing of all of these sorts of materials that are being digitized for the Harvard community in ways that I think would really enhance education.
Do you think that this openness would threaten the standing of Harvard? Or have you heard any response from students or faculty that feel that they may not want this information available to everyone?
I haven't heard anything negative in terms of implications for Harvard in response to opening up the collections broadly, making them publicly available. I think giving away courseware, giving away collections is only a part, of course, of what you get when you're here as a student at Harvard. So much of it is are the people that you interact with and the way the collections are used and the teaching materials are presented to you, and all the other incredible resources that students who come here are fortunate enough to be able to come into contact with. So I think it would be a tremendous benefit to researchers around the world to be able to have these collections. But I don't see, and I haven't heard of anyone really articulating that it's something that would detract in any way from the status of Harvard or giving away something that that we would want to hold on to and not share with others.
I was interested to learn a little bit more about maybe some of the other academic technologies that you are particularly excited about, that you are looking forward to either implementing here at Harvard or other things you see sort of coming down the pike that you're sort of interested in.
There are a couple of things I'll mention. One of the things that I think has been a huge help here at Harvard is the iSites platform. And iSites, the way I see it, is basically a common language for developing websites that really allows you to share content across different websites in a almost seamless way. And also the ability to create websites with very minimal knowledge of coding and these sorts of tools like Dreamweaver, those sorts of things. And so now it's the basis of virtually all FAS course websites, the Faculty of Arts and Sciences here. And it's also being used administratively by departments. We're using it in the library for some of our larger research guides. And what it allows us to do in the library is to actually push content to the point of need. So if we're creating special guides that can be useful for researchers, we can actually deliver even parts of our guides right into course web pages where students can access them because it's using that common language, that common platform. And I think this is a very exciting thing. And it ties in a little bit to the next technology, which I find very exciting, and that's social tagging and bookmarking. And I say that because right now iCommons, the developers of this iSites platform, are working on adding metadata and tagging to the platform, so that librarians who create certain special topics can have those tagged, and students can do a search and find not only what faculty have developed that correspond to those tags, but also librarians and what other researchers around the community are developing based on these topic boxes that are in this platform.
If I could jump in on that, because sure. that's a huge issue, obviously, is the issue of taxonomy and more particularly folksonomy. What role do you see the university library playing in maybe helping to organize all of the stuff that's out there, especially when there's, you know, these unique tags that people are making up tags every day for specific purposes? Do you think that university library might enter that space at all, or do you think they could be helpful in that and thinking about the future of the web?
They're looking at that very carefully now, I think, in terms of metadata, in terms of understanding that the catalogs that have been developed in the past often don't correspond with all the different kinds of materials that students are accessing, or don't present things in a way that many students, the way they've come to expect to be able to search, to be able to find things. Tagging is one of the technologies that they're exploring, and the best example of where this is being done is at University of Pennsylvania. They have an initiative called PennTags, and PennTags is kind of a standalone social bookmarking site that's been created by University of Pennsylvania librarians for the community there. Anyone can access and see the tags, but only members of the community can actually add to PennTags. And you can create special projects and where basically you can have collaborative tagging and a community of researchers tagging a bunch of resources for a particular topic and then share those between each other. And they have a number of other features. But the nice thing about this system is that it complements a lot of the existing cataloging and existing finding aids that are out there. So you can, for example, search the University of Pennsylvania library catalog for a particular book. If that book has also been tagged by somebody in PennTags, you'll not only be able to see the MARC record and the traditional fields that you would see in a library catalog, the LC subject headings, all of that. But at the very bottom of the page, you'll also see the tags that the user who tagged it in PennTags has assigned to it. You'll also be able to see their comments, if they've commented on the book in any way, so certain annotations as well.
Are these also shared outside of Penn?
They're shared. It's all open access, so everyone can look at these. But the only people that can assign tags or create
within
projects
the
or these things have to be within the community. But I think it's an interesting model for having traditional library systems still exist and still look at what are the benefits for a lot of the metadata that's already been done in the past and assigned to these records, but updating it in a way that researchers can tag it for their own purposes and make it a lot more accessible for particular projects.
So it seems like a very exciting way to bring in the more general public into an academic environment where some of these tagging initiatives are taking place.
I think that's true. I think for many students, perhaps most students, the structures that we've created, library websites and e-resource portals and catalogs, these sorts of distinctions are becoming less and less important to them. They want to just find what they want. And so both the administrative structures and the web structures and sites behind that don't matter to them. They just have their goal of trying to find what they need. And so I think as we go forward, the more that we can integrate a lot of these systems into kind of a seamless process of being able to find what you need in an efficient way is kind of the way to move forward. And one of the things that I think is great now is that you even see delicious tags being indexed by Google, so that if you're doing a search on certain topics, you'll actually go to somebody's delicious account and be able to see the articles that they've tagged, and that's kind of a very different development, to be able not only to search websites and things, but actually go within somebody's personal library now and see what they've made available and tagged for others.
There are initiatives like this that sort of present opportunities for students to really carry with them their other everyday habits and the way that they use the web into an academic environment and have that experience be more robust.
Right. I think that's true. I think at the same time, it's very important for students to be able to be critical about what they find. And so one of the dangers of integration and kind of melting away the distinctions between, well, does this come from the library or does this come from the web, is will students be able to really discern the quality of a resource and the reliability of a resource? And this is something that I think faculty are very much concerned with, naturally, and it's something that the library also takes very seriously. So in some ways, knowing that students begin with licensed resources, which have a certain amount of peer review and a certain amount of legitimacy in terms of their scholarship and these sorts of things, having that as distinct or as a starting point can be, I think, beneficial for students rather than just jumping into a whole ocean of resources. And so I think you need to make search much more transparent, but at the same time, it's helpful to have a guided search and a search that really does help students understand the distinctions between what is scholarly and what is just kind of creative contribution on the web.
So I want to thank you very much for joining us. And once again, you're listening to Audio Berkman. And my name is Colin Reinsmith. And thank you, Mike Clement.
Thanks very much, Colin.